Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Everybody has to do taxes, and yet not everybody feels comfortable doing them, which doesn't seem right, especially when you consider all the amazing things these same people accomplish every day of their lives. TurboTax believes that with the right tools and encouragement, people can be good at anything, yes, even taxes. And to help people feel more comfortable with the tax process, TurboTax Live gives you personal access to experienced CPAs and EAs who are there for you, even on nights and weekends. And they're happy to go through your return with you line by line to double check that you've done everything right so you can be sure to get your best possible refund, feel 100% confidence in your taxes. It's TurboTax. All people are tax people. TurboTax believes everyone should feel comfy doing their taxes, and it's all the tools you need to feel confident in this tax process, including that expert-level reassurance. TurboTax has experienced CPAs and EAs available to review your return right along with you. These experienced tax pros can review your return line by line and give you approval even before you file. Ensure your taxes are done right and that you get the best possible refund. TurboTax, all people are tax people.
Napa Know-How.
Now at Napa, get a free Chase Elliott racing hat with any $25 purchase. Set of brakes? That'll cover it. New battery? Hat worthy. Replacing an air filter? Then adding on wiper blades and headlamps just to break $25? Chase approved. So get what you need and a free Chase Elliott hat. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Offer ends 3/31/20.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy, the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is Dan Patrick.
Final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Antonio Gates, the former Charger All-Pro tight end, will join us coming up a little bit. Hall of Famer in waiting, Antonio Gates. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, some more names came out. We, of course, had Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson over the weekend. Found out that Jim Covert, he blocked for Walter Payton. He blocked for Dan Marino in college. He's going into the Hall of Fame. Harold Carmichael. One of my favorite players because I'd never seen somebody that size play wide receiver. He was listed at 6'8". There haven't been too many players who have been 6'8". Who's the tallest player to play in the NFL?
How tall was Too Tall Jones, Ed Jones?
He was 6'9".
Okay.
I think Ed Too Tall Jones might have been the tallest player. The Chiefs had a guy named Morris Stroud, I think. And I think he was a defensive player. But his job would be he would stand at the goalpost on long field goals, and then he would try to block it away. And I remember when they played the – may have been the Raiders or the Dolphins, and he was at the goalpost, so he was trying to jump up and block that. Now, are you allowed to do that, McLovin? Can you still do that?
I think they outlawed that because of him. I used to have a book of strange and unusual sports facts, and he was on the cover of it, blocking a field goal. I'll never forget that image.
But – imagine if you had somebody who had great hops and somebody was kicking a 60-yard field goal and you realized that they were just going to barely make it. You could go up and block that field goal. But I think his name was Morris Stroud.
Yeah, they call it the Stroud rule. It's not allowed.
Oh, okay. Yes, Bo.
Richard Sly was 7 feet tall. He played on the Raiders. I air quote played. He was on the roster in 67, and he did not get to play, but he was on that reserve roster. The best players who were tall, Ed Too Tall Jones, 6'9". Jonathan Ogden listed 6'9".
Oh, he's 6'9".
I have him listed at 6'9" in a couple different places. Off the tackle, mostly for the Ravens.
Yeah, Hall of Famer. All right, let's see. We also talked about Luke Kuechly, who is retiring at the age of 28. LSU has lost their assistant coach, Joe Brady. He's going to the Panthers as the offensive coordinator. Have we ever had a coach and offensive coordinator come close to the ages here of Brady and Matt Rhule? How old is Matt Rhule? Is he mid-30s?
I thought he just turned 40, but...
Okay. But that's still...
right around there.
If you're combining
those... he's 44.
44. All right, so 74. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, obviously, Lane Kiffin was crazy young. Tomlin.
McVay?
McVay, yeah.
Yeah, Paul.
Who's the new coach of the Browns? Stefanski?
Yeah.
I have a theory that these young coaches that are really young, they grow the 5-day growth beard to look older than they are.
Mm.
A little salt, pepper in the beard. Mm. McVay went with the beard right out of the gate and sticks with it to make him look older. The guy from the Packers, LaFleur, he's a beard guy.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he looks 12.
I was also hoping that Eric Bieniemy would get interviewed for some of these jobs. Did he get any interviews, McLovin? He's the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I was wondering, the fact that the Chiefs are still alive hurt him. I mean, because you have to hire somebody and get a staff in already. I mean, all the good assistants are going to be gone.
Yeah, but Stefanski was still alive when he was interviewing. I mean, four days ago, he's still alive.
Right.
In the playoffs. But do you think that if Kansas City was out of the playoffs, that Eric Bieniemy would have gotten a job?
No, but I wonder. I wonder if, like, yeah, he would have gotten more interviews than if you get in the right interview. But next year it's got to happen, right? I mean, how many points does he have to score?
How long has he been there? And he's, of course, a former running back at Colorado. But I don't know how long he's been there as the offensive coordinator. But this is where they talk about the Rooney Rule. The Rooney Rule is not just about head coaches, because you need to have minorities put in positions where they can be elevated to a head coach. They got to be on the path. And on the path means being an offensive or defensive coordinator. Yes, Fritzy.
Bieniemy, running backs coach from 2013 to 2017, then became the offensive coordinator.
Okay. Well, I hope he gets an opportunity, because it certainly seems like he is very good at his job. Yes, McLovin.
And also, the Andy Reid tree has done very well.
Yes.
Doug Peterson did well. Reich has done well.
Andy Reid has had a great coaching tree. Hasn't he? Compared to Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I think so.
Because Mike Vrabel's not on the coaching tree with Bill Belichick. He's a former player, but not a coach there with Bill Belichick, I believe. Yes, Paul.
Doug Peterson was the Chiefs offensive coordinator. He got hired. Matt Nagy was an offensive coordinator for the Chiefs for one season and got the Bears job. Yeah. The enemy's at two.
Jerry in Atlanta joins us. Hi, Jerry. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. Good morning. 6'2", 210. NFL draft question for you. Okay. You just touched on it. Joe Brady leaving LSU to become Carolina's new offensive coordinator. Although Carolina has a lot of needs, do you trade a lot or several draft picks to move up and take Joe Burrow this year's draft?
I don't know what they're going to do here. Because if you said you had Kuechly, Cam Newton, and Christian McCaffrey, then you feel like you got a starting point of – but Greg Olsen's going to retire. And then you start to look at some of these other players that you got 14 unrestricted free agents with Carolina. And that includes Gerald McCoy, Trey Boston. Greg Olsen, he's already said his goodbyes. Writing's on the wall. I think you got to start to look at rebuilding here. But I don't think you could go, like, how much can you go all in to have the Bengals give you the opportunity to draft Joe Burrow? You know, you're moving on from Cam Newton. It feels like that. Expensive, injured, coming back, and what kind of quarterback will he be? Evan in North Carolina joins us. Hi, Evan. What do you have for me?
Hey, Dan. 59170. Hey, yeah, I just had some thoughts to share on Aaron Hernandez. I worked for the Florida Gator football team back in the glory days when Urban and Tebow were all there, including Aaron. The Aaron that I saw every day for 2 years was a happy, fun-loving, joyful guy, and it was just sad to see everything that he did, and I just wonder where it went wrong. You know, was it CTE? It sure seems like that could have been a major part of it, and him getting back up with his friends in the Northeast really brought him down. It's just sad to see it.
And I think, and thank you, Evan, I think getting back in the Northeast, and it doesn't take long to get from Bristol, Connecticut, which is where he grew up, and having some of his homeboys go up there to Foxborough. And once you get around your old friends, and maybe that's who he really was, maybe you put on a good face when you're at Florida, but he was hiding his sexuality, you know, being married and having a daughter, but he was gay. And he wanted to be a gangster. But he only played 3 years. And I remember when he came in, and you're thinking, Belichick has done it again. He's figured out how to get an advantage using his tight ends to beat you down the field. And we worried that Gronk was the guy out of control. And all he was doing was taking off his shirt and doing keg stands. Aaron Hernandez is out killing people. And then he got a contract extension for... I just don't know how you hide that. All of that. And you can sprinkle in CTE if you want to, but it feels like there was a whole lot more that was already going on that I don't know if you could blame it on CTE where all of a sudden he decided to snap. David in California joins us. Hi, David. What do you have for me?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for the call. 57170. So I'm checking the schedule right now, and there's no interleague play for Dodgers-Astros this year. But opening day, Dodger fans, put this on your calendar in Anaheim. April 3rd, Angels-Astros. So it might be a lot of Dodger fans there expressing their opinion.
Displeasure.
Their displeasure, yeah. Second, I'd just like to bring up about the Hall of Fame, and I don't want to turn this into who didn't get in, but I'm a Steeler fan. The fact that LC Greenwood isn't in the Hall of Fame is a joke, so I don't even recognize the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but they got you Donnie Shell. So I understand that. You can't put everybody in, and as much as I loved LC Greenwood, and I think the Steelers had the best defense I ever saw. If you look at the number of Hall of Famers off that defense, and maybe the Bears have more Hall of Famers, or I don't know, the Cowboys. But that Steeler team, Donnie Shell was a backup defensive back. And you had three great linebackers there. Yeah, and then you had your front four, which was awesome. And then your secondary was awesome. Yeah, Paul.
I'm noticing some Cowboy fan anger. Drew Pearson, the great wide receiver of the 70s, did not make the Hall of Fame. And I think that will be it for him as far as a chance to get in. He was a three-time All-Pro, not Pro Bowl, but All-Pro. He was also on the All-Decade team of the 70s. He's the only member of the All-Decade team of the 70s of the NFL to not be in the Hall of Fame. And he won't be going. And they actually had a camera on him with his family around him. Newey Scruggs, the radio host tweeted it out that Drew Pearson had his family and friends around him with a camera on him when he found out he did not make it.
Oh, boy. It's such a – I can't imagine what it's like that you wait each year for that moment. And it could either be the best day or it's a horrible day. And you wait for the phone call when you're, for the Baseball Hall of Fame. And you just sit there and stare at a phone and you wait. And anybody who calls, or if somebody calls and then you're waiting for, the head of the Baseball Writers Association to let you know that you're in the Hall of Fame. Or in the NFL, where you're sitting in a room and they're going to go, let me walk in and say, you get to come out and you get to come out and you get in the Hall of Fame and you get in the Hall of Fame. I couldn't imagine that. I mean, I never waited around to get into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. I'm very fortunate that I get in this year, but I was never going, is this the year I get in? But these players, they're on a time limit of, you got to, it changes your life. You get that stamp of immortality. You get that moment where you get to relive and thank and, those who get that opportunity, it's just a rebirth for some of these guys. And some of the, not everybody's a millionaire. These guys get that call, and it's a chance to just be around those players. And that's what they miss the most. I just miss that atmosphere. You talk to players. I'll ask Antonio Gates, what are you going to miss the most? And he'll say, being around the players. Being in the locker room, being part of a team. Yeah, Todd.
Can't they text you a smiley face or a sad face ahead of time so you're not waiting for a knock at the door before the phone rings or it doesn't ring? And this way you kind of know, and it's not like every time the phone rings, grandma's on the phone.
I just saw where Bobby Petrino he's back in coaching at Missouri State.
That's the old SEMO, Southeast Missouri State. That's why people don't know.
Oh, okay.
I think it's in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I used to kick it down there.
Okay. He's had an interesting career. Louisville, he got fired. He was at Western Kentucky. He was at Arkansas. He was with the Falcons. He left the Falcons to go to the Arkansas job. He left after 13 games with the Falcons. Were they going to pass you by? They're going to pass you up if you decided to stay for an entire season there? And didn't he leave a note or something for his players? He didn't even stand around to tell them anything. Yes, Todd.
And he pulled up to the press conference on a motorcycle, which is probably not the best way to go, given the past.
No, it's not. And, you know, the optics of Odell Beckham Jr. handing out so-called fake money after the national title game. Now, we have a theory on this. Because if you're LSU, can you imagine their compliance officer? Imagine the compliance officer is probably, you know, knee-deep in his cups or, you know, having a celebration. Just won a national title. You're in New Orleans. You're off duty. Everything's great. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, phone rings. Yeah, media's all over this. Odell Beckham, he was handed out money on national TV. What? Yeah, handing out money. Okay, how do we spin this? Fake money. Yeah, that's it. We'll do fake money. But he's shaking hands with these players and handing them money, which is a violation because he's a booster. He's donated money to the school, like Penny Hardaway did. If you're LSU, and he's doing it right in front of the cameras here, do you really think that Odell Beckham is carrying around a wad of fake cash? Like, just in case, it feels like everything he does is on the real. Look at my watch. Look at my shoes. Look at my hair. Look at me. Like, he wouldn't carry a fake wad of cash around. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think, in all seriousness, the compliance department looked at the rules and said, if we say this is real money, and even if the players gave it back the minute the camera stopped rolling, it's some type of low-level violation, and if we say it's fake money, you can't be busted for taking Monopoly money. I really think that's what the compliance may have looked at. What can we say here to say it was not real money?
Don't you think that's real money?
Like you said, is he carrying a bankroll of fake 50s?
I can't imagine that Odell Beckham would ride like that. Everything about him is, I want you to see what I got. He wants you to see that he's got a wad of cash. He don't want you to go, oh, is that, like, do I put the real 100 outside and then I've got all the other hundreds are fake? And where did he get his fake money? But that looks like it's real cash. Yeah, Fritzy.
Because then you're pranking the players if you're handing them fake money. It doesn't make any sense. And why would you have that ahead of time? I know he likes to pre-plan little things and look at me, but you're basically dissing these players that you're pretending to give them actual cash, but you're not.
And then you have people who work with LSU are watching this and smiling, laughing. Not a good look. Not a good look. That
but.
Okay.
If he was actually handing out cash on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Or on the field after the game.
Yeah.
Do you think that the LSU people that are standing there watching would be smiling and laughing?
I don't think they realized in the moment what he was doing. Like, I mean, they're probably just happy and, yeah, Odell's giving them some cash. I don't think in the moment that you really – when I watched it, I didn't process it going – until later I go, if that's real money – now, all of a sudden, LSU has to vacate the title. Clemson demands they vacate the title because those kids got paid. I remember $100 handshakes by a college basketball team when I was growing up. When I was in college, that there was a university, they had $100 handshakes. So you'd go up to a booster, and everybody knew this, and then they would – not me. I never – I had to give $100 to the boosters. But they would give $100 handshakes to the players. It was common practice. Everybody knew about $100 handshakes. Can't really be that obvious like Odell Beckham is. But everything about him is he wants you to notice him. Yes, Fritzy.
Now, if you're in bed sleeping in, you're the compliance officer or part of that group, are you running right into the office? Do you have time to shower first? Puts up the nights on? What are you doing immediately when you get that call? Working from home? What are you
doing? Well, they're probably still out. They're probably still celebrating.
You're getting the text line in some bar somewhere.
Yeah, you're at Bourbon Street, and you're going, you better come down. We got some trouble here. The NCAA's got too much to worry. You know, unless Yahoo Sports or somebody like that comes, E60 comes out with something, the NCAA is going to go, we got other things to worry about. We're not worried about handshakes. Yeah, Paul.
Right, the NCAA is so oblivious that Odell Beckham has to hand a kid $100 on national TV for them to say, yeah, there might be something going on here. We're going to take a look at that. The most famous guy in the sport has to do it on national TV.
We've also become billionaires during the show, apparently. I came up with the idea of my tequila. It's called Tequila Mockingbird. And then we're doing the Literary Spirits is going to be our brand name. We're going to have a full bar. Huckleberry Gin was another one that I like. Catcher in the Rye Whiskey. Yes, Paulie.
The Hunt for Red October.
Ooh.
A more modern novel, but very, very popular.
I think that's... How about Mary Shelley's Frankenbeerstein?
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Oliver Vodka with a Twist.
Okay.
Oliver Twist. With a Twist. Treasure Long Island. That's Austin in Normal, Illinois. Fahrenheit 450 Rum. Instead of 451.
Can you make something 451 proof?
Ooh, no.
That wouldn't
work. If you did, you would get drunk off the fumes. Old Fashioned Man in the Sea.
All right.
Okay.
Gone with the Whiskey.
Brand's taking a hit.
Yeah, it is.
We don't want to water this down.
Yeah.
Tequila Mockingbird is good.
Okay. I just think we go with Huckleberry Gin and we go with Tequila Mockingbird.
I just want to get rich enough one day that I can say, you know, it doesn't buy happiness. That's what I want.
I want to be miserable on a boat too.
Yeah, I want to be. I want to be able to be. It doesn't buy happiness.
Wasn't there?
That's what I want.
I think there's a Japanese billionaire, and he's handing out. I think
it's about $9,000 to hundreds and hundreds of people.
But he wants to prove that money won't make you happy. I need more than $9,000 to see if money will or won't make me happy. Like, if you're a billionaire, hand out $1 million to 10 people. If you really want to prove your theory that money's not going to make you happy, then do that.
What's your hunch? Do you think it does? Or
I think people would love to try and see if it can make you happy. Yeah, see.
Well, that's why, like, there's this thing, you know, the whole giving pledge where there's all these billionaires who are like, hey, we're giving away all of our money and it feels so good. Take the giving pledge. But it turns out they're all making more money off of giving away their money. How does that work? How does that work out? Where they, because of the way they're giving away their money, they're just raking in cash.
Yeah, Paul.
How's that work?
We've had Warren Buffett on this show probably about half a dozen times, and he seems happy as hell every time
I
talk to him.
He does.
He's laughing.
I'm guessing Bill Gates is seems like he's in good spirits. Mark Cuban's always in good mood unless he's getting fined by the NBA.
Doesn't buy happiness.
Apparently
not. Doesn't
buy sports teams and jets.
Be careful what you wish for.
Bang the rum slowly. Fritzy wants to remember that. And promote. We promote responsible drinking.
Promotes responsible drinking. You're telling them to bang the rum slowly. So you got two things. You got
right.
to play on words. And you're like, hey, easy with the rum. You got to get in the car later. Be careful. I have the designated driver.
I don't want to work.
I'm gonna bang on the rum all day.
That's the first commercial.
Now, isn't that Todd Rundgren who did that? And it doesn't sound like anything that... When I hear that song, you can't be in a bad mood. If you're in a bad mood, you get in a better mood when you hear that song. That's just like Blue Swede. Remember our favorite song with Blue Swede, Todd? Hooked on a Feeling.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah. Come on, everybody, tapping your foot, and right now, 22 after the hour, 96 Rock.
There you go.
Here's Todd Rundgren.
This is it. If you're the afternoon DJ, you play this every day at 5 o'clock.
Killing it.
You know what time it is.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. So, Bon Drago sung the song? I didn't know that. It's bizarre.
What?
Oh, that's Dolph Lundgren. This is Todd Rundgren.
Should have gone to break. Should have gone to break.
I got you some of that gin right now.
See, now you ruined it.
I did.
You did.
It's the second time today.
Everybody, you're a buzzkill.
I thought you'd get that a little quicker, though. That kind of ruined it, too.
No, it's on me that I didn't get Dolph Lundgren.
One of you guys usually bails me out and gives me some kind
of
cheating.
Got
the great laugh.
Let me take a break.
Oh, Von Drago? What?
Todd Rundgren.
Ugh.
Dolph Lundgren.
Classic.
I should have stayed quiet one of many times throughout the course of today's program.
23 after the hour. Antonio Gates will join us coming up next.
Everybody's got a to-do list. I get one from my wife, drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk, figure out something to get out of the house so I can relax. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. The good thing, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Do you like extra money in your pocket? Do you like not having to drive somewhere to pick something up? This is the way to do it. It just may be the most rewarding thing on your to-do list today. That's geico.com.
Napa know-how.
Now at Napa, get a free Chase Elliott racing hat with any $25 purchase. Set of brakes? That'll cover it. New battery? Hat-worthy. Replacing an air filter? Then adding on wiper blades and headlamps just to break $25? Chase approved. So get what you need and a free Chase Elliott hat. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Offer ends 3/31/20.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.
By the way, most playoff appearances without playing in a Super Bowl since 1970. 18 for the Kansas City Chiefs. Then it's the Lions with, well, they didn't play, playing in a Super Bowl. Lions, Jets, Browns, Jaguars. So most playoff berths without playing in a Super Bowl. So the Lions have had 12 playoff berths, no Super Bowl. The Jets, they've had 12. Of course, they won the Super Bowl. Cleveland Browns with 11, and the Jacksonville Jaguars with 7 on that list. We're waiting for Antonio Gates. By the way, here's something for you. Stat of the day, perhaps. Perhaps. In NFL history, only Jerry Rice caught more TD passes in the red zone than Antonio Gates. Rice with 94, Gates 92, Tony Gonzalez 85, Chris Carter 84, and Larry Fitzgerald, who's coming back for another season, with 82. Gates, by the way, 116 career touchdown catches overall. That's seventh most all-time and first among tight ends. And, yes, Larry Fitzgerald is coming back for another season. That'd be a 17th season, McLevin?
I believe so. Someone just said that. So.
And as I don't know if he can catch. He'd have to play two and a half more seasons. He'd have to play three seasons to catch Jerry Rice, right? You do 70 catches a year. And he's 172 away.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the important stat, receiving yards.
Oh, is that the most important?
Catches.
Catches don't
mean
anything.
In today's game, there's nothing. Catches have gone even farther down.
Okay.
A two-yard game. But, no, he's 5,000 behind Rice for yards, too. So
5,000.
Yeah, that's one where Rice really lapped the field.
Well, I don't think they were going to Jerry for two-yard passes either with that West Coast offense. And Jerry played such a long time, but it felt like Jerry could turn something small into something larger.
You know, and look at these numbers, by the way. Like Isaac Bruce is fifth. I mean, if you're talking about, and Torrey Holder's up there, too. Like,
okay, but how important is that to you? Because you're always telling me that, you know, how catches are overrated, but yards per catch?
Well, no, total yards is, I think,
how total yards.
When you say who's the leading receiver, when they talk about NFL, they talk about yards.
Okay.
They don't talk about catches anymore.
Michael Thomas, they talked about the number of catches.
Yeah, but if you like look at NFL.com, you look at receiving leaders, they put yards. Okay. That's the standard.
Okay.
Like Wes Welker was never the best receiver in the game.
He had a lot of catches. He didn't have a lot of yards.
Yeah, and he never got paid like Calvin Johnson.
But Michael Thomas of the Saints gives you catches and yards, right?
Right, he's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he's an MVP candidate.
But this isn't the greatest single season a receiver's ever had, is it? Because Randy Moss had, what, 22 touchdown receptions that year with Brady?
Yeah, was it 22 or 23?
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson had, like, close to
2,000 yards. Okay, out of those three, and I'm sure we're leaving out some people, who would you pick then? if I said Michael Thomas with what he did, Randy Moss what he did, and Calvin Johnson to do that with the Lions.
Wow, I mean, it'd be a toss-up between Moss and Calvin Johnson.
Because don't I have to give Calvin Johnson extra credit here? He's doing it with the Lions. And Thomas did it with Drew Brees and the Saints and a playoff team. And Moss did it with an undefeated Patriots team. Yeah, Paul.
You know what's one of the greatest receiving seasons ever, in my opinion, is 2013, second year in the league, Josh Gordon. He caught 87 balls for 1,700 yards, 19 yards a catch. He was 22 years old.
Yes, McLovin.
We had this great debate today. We were talking about before the show. Mike Florio has been banging the drum for Taysom Hill to take over the Saints job, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know why. Because would Teddy Bridgewater be the next in line?
You think?
Hey, Taysom Hill's great. I mean, he's very entertaining. I don't know if he's your every down quarterback. And we followed him since he was at BYU, and we've had him on the show. But now when you watch him, I don't think there's a position where you go, oh, Taysom Hill's in there. He could be a defensive back, special teams, wide receiver, running back, quarterback, fullback. He's like a throwback guy. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, Taysom Hill at BYU, he was a mishmash as a passer. His stats weren't that great. Touchdowns, interceptions, percentage. He's a bulldozer. He's going to be curious to see every down, though.
He's pretty fast. He's a great athlete. Yes, McLovin.
I'm amazed at how fast he is. He's huge. And yeah. It's like Tebow, but everything a little better. But he threw six passes last year.
But now is the time because he's running. He can give you the run-pass option?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's Lamar Jackson going to change the way everybody thinks about running quarterback?
Yeah, it's one thing to think about that. It's another thing to find the right guy to do that. Patrick Mahomes led the Chiefs in rushing, but I wouldn't consider him Lamar Jackson-like. Kyler Murray could be like Lamar Jackson. He's just not as, the same size as him.
What about Jalen Hurts as a pro? Have you dug into that at all?
I haven't. But it felt like, remember, he wasn't going to be drafted to then. He started out so, remember, he had won the Heisman in September. And then somebody said he's going to be a first-round draft pick, first round.
We did that story.
And I went, okay. So he went from not being drafted to now he's going to be maybe a late first-round draft pick.
But then he fell off a little bit.
Yes, he did. But I haven't seen him in the mocks in the first round since then. But I don't know what happened to him. I mean, Lincoln Riley obviously can sprinkle some fairy dust on him and Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield and make them better. But, it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, Justin Herbert's an athlete. He can give you a little bit of that as well. In fact, he had three touchdowns in the bowl game. And they were running. Antonio Gates, the native of Detroit. We have a listener, Jeff in Detroit, and he said, when you came on the show, Antonio, I'm supposed to say, what up, Doe?
How you doing? How you doing, David?
Is that the appropriate jargon for Detroit? What up, Doe?
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's the normal, I'm from Detroit language. If you don't know that, you're not from Detroit.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Well, Jalen Rose always says that, too. So
absolutely, yeah. That's my guy.
I mean, I'm straight out of Ohio, so just letting you know that I kind of plug and play on some of these things I'm supposed to know. Do you feel retired?
Yeah, I do now. after yesterday and after all the generous, kind words from fellow teammates and coaches. I felt like it was time. I felt like I needed some time to reevaluate it. It took a while to get to this point. Normally when you hear the word retired, it's just like saying you can't do it anymore. And I, for the longest, I felt like I had something in the tank. And then I got to a point where, as the course of the season was going through, and I just said, I think it's that time for me to just go ahead and move on to the next chapter of my life.
If I told you 20 years ago you were going to go to the Hall of Fame, what would you have told me?
Man, I wouldn't have believed it, to be honest with you. Not in the game of football. So my whole life was predicated around the game of basketball. So, ironically, watching myself and hearing things and all these generous words about the game of football it still blows me away to this day.
But let me know if I have this timeline correct. As a freshman, you went to Michigan State, and you were going to play for Nick Saban, but you were hoping to play basketball for Tom Izzo. And then Saban says you can only play football, so then you decide that you still want to play basketball. You go to Eastern Michigan, where you play for part of a season, and then you transfer to Kent State. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What was Saban like?
Hindsight, he was a genius. At 17 years old, didn't really understand why he thought I was a first-round pick in the game of football.
Oh, so, he told you that you could be a first-round pick?
Yeah. He said that I was a first-round pick. And I want to say he just had came from the Browns. He said he had played and coached at the Browns. Not played, he coached at the Browns. And he was saying you're what NFL scouts are looking for. You have the natural attributes at 6'4", 250, 260, the ability to run and move. So I was, it caught me by blindside because I was 17 years old. And I was, basketball was my life. Football was something that I did and I was talented at, but basketball was the majority of my work was put into basketball. So when he told me that, I just didn't, I was like, man, look, I want to play basketball. Fast forward it, I want to give him his credit. He was at the Miami Dolphins 1 year, and he played us in San Diego, played the Chargers. And then I want to say I had 8 catches for like 130 yards. And I think he came up to me after the game and said, "What you think about that choice now?"
Who was the best player, basketball player, you played against in college?
It was a combination of a couple of people. I think Chris Kamen. I think that's the closest thing.
He was Central Michigan?
He went to Central Michigan, yeah. Played twice a year. He's just the name that most of the time people would know. Brandon Hunter. Was at Ohio, was really, really talented. At that time, Brandon Hunter probably was better. I think Ball State had a guy named Theron Smith. I don't know how his career panned out. Marshall had a guy.
I looked at what the NBA scouts said about it. They said you were a tweener.
Mm-hmm.
And at 6'4", I could see where they would say you were a tweener. If somebody said you were going to get drafted in the first round in the NBA, Would you have gone to the NBA instead of the NFL?
Yeah, at that time, yes.
Okay.
When you think about all the, the sacrifices I had made up until that point for the game of basketball. I mean, that was basically my life. And I had put in so much work. But at the time, 6'4", tweeners wasn't, conducive to what the NBA needed at the time. And I think now you probably can get away with it based on what you've seen Golden State Warriors do with Draymond Green and things of that nature. I think now even the guard play, guys like Steph Curry has opened up doors for certain guards now. You normally have to be super athletic and things of that nature to play the point guard spot. So
how about the big three for you? I can give Ice Cube a call. And you're turning 40, right? So
yes.
What about the 3-on-3 league?
Well, yeah, it would have been in the plans back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, okay. The game of football doesn't let you physically just move on to doing how you want to do after you retire.
All right, I have a couple of Charger questions before I say goodbye. Is Philip Rivers coming back to the Chargers?
That's a pretty good question. Really don't know. I'm not sure.
Are you sure you don't know?
Yeah, I'm sure I don't know.
If I said you could have Philip Rivers or Tom Brady with the Chargers right now.
Wow. Antonio Gates is going to say Philip Rivers. So, he's the one who told me 89. So, that's my guy. He's going to always be my guy. I've been asked that question a lot over the course of a couple of days.
Yeah.
What I will say is that if whatever happens for the organization, you know I wish them the best because that's like family to me, and Philip is definitely family to me, so I wish him the best. And if Tom Brady was, you know, generous enough to come and join the Chargers, I would definitely be one of his biggest fans and his biggest supporters.
Well, congrats on a great career, and we appreciate you joining us, Antonio.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. What up, no? That's how we do it. That's how we do it. I've never sounded whiter. What up, no? We're going to take a break here. We'll be back. Dan Patrick Show after this.
It's the greatest time of the year in sports. NFL, college football, MLB, NBA, and NHL. What else can a sports fan ask for? All the action you want is every day at one place and one place only. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag. Use promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% off welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on all this incredible action at BetOnline.ag. That's BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Hey, listeners, just wanted to take a minute to thank all our great sponsors and all of you great listeners for supporting this podcast. We certainly couldn't do it without either of you. And I wanted to remind you that you can support our sponsors by going to our show page at podcastone.com, clicking on the Support This Podcast button, and there you will see all our wonderful sponsors that help make this show possible. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and, of course, supporting. And now back to the show.
Napa Know How.
Now at Napa, get a free Chase Elliott racing hat with any $25 purchase. Set of brakes? That'll cover it. New battery? Hat worthy. Replacing an air filter? Then adding on wiper blades and headlamps just to break $25? Chase approved. So get what you need and a free Chase Elliott hat. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Offer ends 3/31/20.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.
I saw where Tua Tagovailoa, according to his agent Lee Steinberg, will be throwing before the draft. Okay. That'd be an interesting pro day for him, because how much can he do at that pro day? If he's going to be able to throw before the draft, and the draft is coming up in, what, 2 months, McLovin?
April 23rd, yeah.
So 3 months, April 23rd.
I mean, he was on crutches on one leg the last time we saw him around New Year's.
Yeah. I don't know. But if you have a pro day, is he going to go to the combine is what I'd be curious about. Because that'll still help the scouts when they're able to put him in front of the chalkboard there and have him diagram plays. They get to see his medicals, and then you get to interview him. Now, I think the interviewing process, you're going to like the kid. But the medicals, that's what they really want to see. That, and if I put you up there and I say, all right, here's the play. Now tell me what the play is, or however they do it. Yeah, McLeod.
Do you remember when Drew Rosenhaus was selling Willis McGahee for a whole offseason?
Yeah.
And he was devastatingly injured, right? As I recall, it was terrible.
We were at that national title game. Fiesta Bowl. And you could tell. I usually look at the reaction of teammates. And when you see that, when they react and how they react, that usually tells you the severity of an injury. And that's when you knew. But Willis McGahee went to Buffalo at, what, 22 or 23 in the first round? Something like that? And he had a pretty good career. Did he gain 1,000 yards his first season? I know he gained 1,000 yards. It felt like a couple of years. Yeah, Paul.
I remember specifically Darren Revelle, who was at ESPN at the time, had a story that McGahee bought catastrophic injury insurance the day before the Fiesta Bowl and had the opportunity to cash it in for maybe $1 million if he wanted to give up his career right there, but he couldn't play again. And they rolled the dice and played.
You got his numbers there, McLovin?
Yeah, so he didn't play at all his first year, according to this, but he had 4 1,000 yard seasons.
Yeah,
and almost had a fifth. So, yeah, he was very productive.
This day in sports history, Paulie?
1958, the New York Yankees, way ahead of the curve, in 58 announced they would televise 140 of their games for the 58 season. 1997, Dennis Rodman kicked a cameraman in the groin. You always remember that clip. 2001, an anonymous bidder bid $3 million for the baseball that Mark McGwire hit, the 70th home run ball. And the first Super Bowl was played in 1967, Packers versus the Chiefs, 35-10.
I remember watching that game, and I was a Packer fan. I was an NFL fan, but I always appreciated the AFL because the AFL gave the African-Americans from the all-black colleges or small colleges an opportunity to play. That's why the AFL had a lot of these players who came from Grambling and Southern and, you know, some of these other smaller schools are all black universities because the AFL gave you that opportunity to play, and you could play quarterback. It was different with the NFL. All righty, Fritzy, what did you learn on today's program?
We're thinking about starting our own liquor company or brands based on famous novels like Tequila Mockingbird.
McLovin, what did you learn today?
Don't forget Ale of Two Cities.
Yeah, I like that one. Seton O'Connor?
Being a billionaire doesn't buy happiness. It just doesn't.
Polyester?
Catcher in the Rye, Dan.
Catcher in the Rye whiskey. Catcher in the Rye whiskey. What did I learn, Todd?
You learned making the owner's money doesn't make you a great Hall of Fame commissioner. How did you make the game better?
Yeah. What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom. Make 2020 a year you will remember for the right reasons. Use LegalZoom to help you out. Go to LegalZoom.com today. Enter the promo code Patrick in the box at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code Patrick. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. My thanks to all the great people behind the scenes who make this happen every day. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Dan Patrick Show.
Hey, what's happening, man? It's Tip, T.I. Harris. Come check me out, man. Join me on my new podcast called Expeditionally, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Now, every week I'm going to be talking to people who move the culture forward, who are shaping and changing the world in their own way. You're going to hear some shit that will change your life and move the needle in your world. Expeditionally is exclusively available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Now, what I need you to do is download and subscribe to Expeditionally with a new episode dropping every Thursday. Do it expeditiously.
Napa know-how.
Right now, only at Napa, AAA members get a 20% discount. So you can avoid getting stranded on the side of the road by picking up some quality parts like batteries, brake pads, and more. Meaning you can prevent the problem before it ever becomes a problem. Bravo. That's 20% off for AAA members. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 3/31/20.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.